Welcome to An Hour to Give. We're going to be discovering everything about Summer Solstice Indigenous Festival. I'd like to welcome to the show Vince Fontaine and Josh Kaye. Hello to you both.
Well, hello.
It's great to have both of you here. Vince, tell me a little bit about your involvement with the Indigenous Festival.
Well, I've known Trina Mathis-Amard, who is the director and kind of the boss of the Summer Solstice Festival, and I think probably a couple of years ago she may have started having a little bit of a vision about a music award show for Indigenous artists. And I I've known her for many years, and throughout my music career I've had the pleasure of being in Ottawa and being her music guest, and so we started up a conversation a couple of years ago, and I gave her some of my thoughts on it. Number one is absolutely there should be a celebration for Indigenous artists and their efforts. And number two, what a fantastic place to have it in Ottawa. And so number three was I just kind of helped out with the, beginning footsteps of how do we put on an award show. And throughout my history, which, in the music industry, 20 plus years, I, as a performer, have been involved in many award shows in Canada and the U.S., the Junos or the Canadian Aboriginal Music Awards, different things like that. So, we just started our conversation, and, we got things rolling. And
sounds
so
exciting.
Now we're very close. We're very close to kicking it off, and wonderful.
Sounds really exciting, and I know I'm certainly inspired to hear all of that. And, of course, Josh Kaye, TD Group, is inspired, too.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you, Sam. It's so great to be here with you and Vince today. TD has had a strong partnership with the Summer Solstice Festival since 2018, and absolutely proud to partner again this year. We're delighted to be part of the vital platform that supports Indigenous artists, educators, and community members to share and celebrate diverse Indigenous cultures in Canada. This year, TD is especially proud to be the presenting sponsor of the inaugural Summer Solstice Indigenous Music Awards. And this multifaceted partnership also includes support for their culinary experiences and the Skore Mentorship and Financial Support Programs.
It really is incredible. And of course, Vince, having TD on board must just make this event even better.
Oh, absolutely. When you have a national partner, it just goes to show and affirm that there's interest and support from the national level. And it just really makes you feel good that people are going to be of interest. And it's always great to have partners. This is all really about community, Indigenous community, performing music and that kind of stuff. So very proud to have that on board.
Vincent, I understand that you've received 250 submissions from all across this beautiful country.
Yes, exactly. That's the number, plus. And, really that's a reflection of what's happening across Canada in the Indigenous music field. To show the efforts, especially this year within the COVID thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's a real, hats off and a pat on the back to all those artists who are working in the confines of their place, where they are in this COVID time that we've had in the last 14, 15 months. So I'm really, really want to applaud those artists who submitted and are participating in this. It's really wonderful to see.
I think that's a really good point, and I'd love your thoughts on that, Josh. Of course, you've been involved. TD Bank has been involved since 2018, but there is something special about the pivot, of course, that's had to be done during this time. And so many of us, I know I have turned to music at this time to really get us through challenging times.
Yes, absolutely. From my perspective, I have a personal connection to music. I myself am an artist. And so having to pivot in sort of within the framework or the confines of a pandemic, and trying to find ways to continue to be creative and connect with our stories and connect with our communities, definitely hats off and applauses need to go out to all the artists who continued to, you know, try to find ways to connect to that creative aspect of their being and connect to communities during these times.
So I want to get all the details from you, Vince. Let's talk about the process. I understand there's 18 categories. How can we get involved? How can our listeners get involved?
Well, sure. The 18 categories are, you know, they're kind of representative of what we feel is some of the areas of music expression. And we also wanted to highlight some, you know, new areas that we thought would be nice to honor, you know, such as youth leadership in music, because there's a lot of youth out there that are really doing special voice, you know, things, and they're voicing their convictions and passions through music. So there's an award category for that. There's music in the arts, you know, where your music is really special. It's being placed in a movie or a documentary or something. We do have a couple of legacy awards that we're going to be honoring some specific Indigenous artists from years gone by, and we're very pleased to do that. Here's another one, too, that's kind of interesting. Mm-hmm. Live performance of the year. So, you know, that's one of my favorite, but I know that's a difficult one to imagine in the COVID year, right? But who's had a great live performance? Maybe somebody has done a really great live stream, mm-hmm. and they want to share that with us. So back to your question, getting right to it, our audience can be participating and watching this on the date of the show, which is coming up on June the 12th. It's going to be streamed, right? It's going to be streamed live on the social media platforms that they'll highlight probably in the next week again or so, how people can watch. And we hope to have people across the country tuning in, paying attention to some of these talents, and excited to see some pretty cool names across the country. Actually, about this, there's representation in our submission process from right across the country, from east to west, and, you know, hats off again to the people behind the scenes that are adjudicating this, some of the people that have put in time to take a chance to listen and go through the bios and the songs and the lyrics, and then all of a sudden, you know, it's really tough if you're a juror because, you know, there's mm-hmm. so much good talent, but to place your picks in the, you know, 1-2-3 setting, it's a lot of work and commitment, and happy again with those folks.
Absolutely. And Josh, is this one of the reasons that TD is so excited? We try to think about the silver linings in all of this, and of course the Summer Solstice Indigenous Festival being able to be captured by Canadians all across Canada. Is that another benefit for TD?
Yes, absolutely. You know, through the TD Ready commitment, we aspire to help open doors to a more inclusive and sustainable tomorrow. You know, where everyone, no matter what, has confidence in what the future brings and feels connected to their community. So that's especially important during times like these, where we can feel pretty disconnected. You know, and so one of the ways we do this is through supporting ethnocultural festivals that bring people together, like the Summer Solstice Indigenous Festival.
It really is amazing. Vince, where are we watching all of this?
Well, we're going to see it on Summer Solstice Facebook. I believe it's going to be on YouTube as well. The links will be provided. But you can get all the information on summersolsticefestival.ca, which is, I believe, the festival's website. Mm-hmm. And they'll be posting all the updated links and times, everything that will go live on June the 12th.
How important do you think it is, Josh, for us to bring our children to this type of event virtually and let them experience the Summer Solstice Indigenous Festival too?
I think, you know, from my perspective, like, this is extremely important because not only are we creating that dialogue and having that opportunity to honor the unique history and cultures and contributions and achievement of Indigenous peoples, but to be able to share that with the next generation, you know, enables that dialogue to continue to go forward, and where, you know, the younger generations within the Indigenous community have the opportunity to interact in the future growth of this country, having already sort of created that space and that sharing of culture and music and celebration, extremely important.
For someone that maybe hasn't been involved before, Vince, what do you suggest? Where should we start learning about some of these artists?
You can Google Indigenous Music Arts Canada. You know, I think there's a, like the Summer Solstice is a real great national platform, one of the signature events in Canada for many years. So they showcase a lot of the music talents. There's the Indigenous Music Summit folks from Ontario that present a lot of artists. Manitoba Music as well, for example. They'll get an idea to see who's out there. The Juno Awards, of course, as you know or would know, they have their own, we have our own category, Indigenous Artists, and that particular category has been in the running for somewhat 25 years, celebrating Indigenous music artists. It's changed names a few times. At one time, it was called the Best Music of Aboriginal Canada, and now it's called Indigenous Artists. There's been other awards, by the way. This isn't the first time in Canada, just to give a little background, which I think is important. In Toronto was the Canadian Aboriginal Festival for many years in the late 90s into the early 2000s. And they used to have the Canadian Aboriginal Music Awards. Winnipeg, we launched here in 2005, the Aboriginal People's Choice Music Awards, which then changed its name to the Indigenous Music Awards. And then there's the East Coast Music Awards, the Western Canadian Music Awards. So these are places where Indigenous people get some platform and recognition. And the newest one, of course, is I'm so excited to be a part of. And my role in this is I'm just lending my experience in the creative process to give some color to the process and the presentation. So. Yeah.
Wow, it's fantastic. I am so grateful that both of you joined us today. Vince Fontaine and, of course, Josh Kaye. Thank you both so much.
Yeah,
thank you so much, and
appreciate that. Chimigwich.
Absolutely. Thank you. When we come back, we're going to learn more about the Summer Solstice Indigenous Festival. We're going to talk a little culinary later in the show. Stay with us here on An Hour to Give. Welcome back to An Hour to Give. We're talking about, of course, the Summer Solstice Indigenous Festival. So that means we have to talk to, and we must talk to, the one and only Trina Mathers-Samard. Hi, how are you?
Good, thanks. Thanks so much for having us.
Trina, tell me about your vision for this incredible festival.
Well, it has changed quite a bit over the last couple of years, but we've always really tried to create an event that shares and celebrates all of the diversity of our Indigenous culture and, through food and music and dance and arts. So in going virtual in 2020 and again this year, we're really just trying to find ways to keep the community connected, with this kind of programming and, amplify and share our message and our teachings across Canada.
Can I tell you, Trina, I have witnessed a lot of people change course. I think you have done a beautiful job of your website is gorgeous. The range of activities, the range of talent is incredible. I think you get an A+ for everything you've done for this festival. And I think it's really up to every single Canadian to spend time and learn during this festival about this incredible, not only the festival, but the people behind the festival.
Oh, thank you so much. Yeah, we had a really great reaction to our first virtual event. Of course, it transpired fairly quickly since we started on June 1st last year. But we really just looked at every element of programming we try and do live and thought, how can we do this virtually and how can we still engage people and make it interactive even though we're on a screen? So I must admit we were thrilled with how it turned out. And we've been able to, even build on it for 2021 with more programming. So we're very excited.
And more programming means more sponsors. Who have you brought on board this time?
we've been so fortunate. I think one of the positives that came for us from, from this COVID experience and the move to virtual is our audience grew incredibly, and, with it, all of our corporate partners who have really, believed in and supported our vision We now have our first new presenting sponsor of the overall festival, which is Rio Tinto, and TD Bank Group for our Summer Solstice Indigenous Music Awards, you know, and just so many great corporate partners that have come on and helped us to, you know, really build on our vision from last year and, you know, expand and reach new audiences.
It's really fantastic. And I know the education days are really important to you as well. Walk us through the commitment from BMO Financial Group, for instance.
Yeah, so Education Day at our festival and event, when we were live, we were able to bring in 5,000 students and you know, and help to bring the curriculum to life and really, you know, share with our Indigenous artists and presenters. But moving to virtual and with the support of BMO has just opened so many doors for us. And last year, we reached 16,000 registered students, and currently we're at over 35,000 who are participating this year. We have six different cultural workshops that are going to run every Tuesday and Thursday at 1 p.m. Eastern. And, you know, just being virtual, it's really they're able to connect it into, you know, the students that are working from home or maybe in classrooms, depending where they are. And, yeah, we're able to bring the artists to them with, you know, pre-recorded performances, but then live Q&A after, so they get to really connect with our traditional knowledge keepers and artists in a different way than they can in our live event.
So that's 1 o'clock Eastern, I'm assuming.
It is, yes.
And is that for parents and teachers alike to sort of connect into that so their children or their students can participate?
100%. So we do send out the information for schools and teachers to register their class, but we realize now, you know, many parents are in the home education realm, and so we're inviting really anybody to register, or you can just watch online, but by registering you get the link, etc. Yeah, we're opening up to all those that are home and educating our students of different ages right now.
Trina, I don't know about you, but I'm always trying to find the positives in what we've been going through the last number of months and over a year now, of course. And earlier when we were talking about the music awards, we were talking about how it's really opened up to more Canadians, if you will. Is that the other benefit that we see here for this particular festival, that you're able to go more Canadian-wide, if you will, and attract more people and more students, to your point?
Yes, I think, you know, we're always trying to do the same. It's been a challenging time for, you know, for everyone. And, you know, certainly we had hoped to be live by this year. But we really have, you know, benefited from, you know, having to pivot and consider how we could do this virtually. And we had an audience last year of over 527,000 people tune in to Summer Solstice. And, you know, that's just, you know, impacting so many people's understanding and appreciation of our community that we just couldn't have done with our live event. So, you know, it certainly opened up new audiences and allowed us to really amplify those messages.
Dream for me, Trina, where do you see this event in 5 years? Has this virtual component changed for you?
It has, certainly. You know, last year, I think all of our feedback was, you know, even if we go back live, it's, you know, we really hope you continue this virtual programming for people that can't, you know, can't make it to the event. And so I'm not sure how yet. You know, I think we're on the right path with our, you know, all of our very valued corporate sponsors, because, you know, the budget only goes so far. And you know, certainly it's not a lot less expensive to do a virtual event than it is to do a real one. So, you know, I do hope that we are able to continue having, you know, a live event and have people gather in person again, you know, and hear the drums and taste the food. But, you know, I also hope we are able to continue to reach this new audience that we've built and continue a lot of our virtual experiences as well.
Because I think a lot of Canadians don't really sort of take the time to do this. You're really, to be honest with you, you're making it super simple for all of us. You're sharing, to your point, the culinary side of it. There's, of course, that family aspect, the drums piece, the music awards. It really is this full package for individuals and families in a short time frame.
It is, and we've really tried to do that, to have programming for, you know, all ages and interests. And, you know, some people might be really engaged by the powwow, and others might be more, you know, willing to follow along with an Indigenous culinary meal. You know, we've got some great kids and family kind of nature and culture programs this year as well. So, yeah, we've really tried to create something for all interests and ages. And have that wide appeal.
Yeah, no, it's amazing. I think if we think beyond the festival, so you work really hard, of course, probably 25 hours a day. I know what it's like to put on a festival. You work really hard. You know, the festival happens. What are you hoping are the lasting effects of an event like this?
You know, I think that we've seen the lasting effects in our live event and, you know, and then through our virtual. You know, really just creating that connection between our community and other Canadians, you know, and making it easy for people to, you know, get a greater understanding and appreciation for our teachings. And, you know, to me, you know, it's the first step in reconciliation, I think, for Canada, is really, you know, just all of Canada to kind of understand and have an opportunity to, you know, really get to know Indigenous people and artists. And, you know, all of the great impacts they have to share in, you know, culinary and music and, you know, arts. And so really just to see that diversity and create that connection.
It really is what Canada's all about. As you're describing that, I'm thinking, you know, I wish I would have had something like this as a young person. I think it would have been definitely something that would have enriched, you know, my experience growing up in Canada. And that's why one of the reasons I want to share it, of course, with my daughter. I think it's a really important opportunity for us to take to do that. And I love the fact that because it's virtual, and I know I keep stressing that, that, you know, everybody can do this from coast to coast to coast.
Absolutely. And I agree. I mean, I grew up in an urban area. I grew up in Oshawa, Ontario, and, you know, I have mixed Indigenous and British heritage. And, you know, it was something even growing up as an Indigenous person in a city that I didn't have access to. And so, you know, I think it's so important to keep it, you know, as accessible for our own community and all Canadians. And, you know, and being virtual really does offer that opportunity.
Let's talk about where people can get all the information. As I said, right off the top, your website is absolutely a dream. Walk us through the website. Where are we going to find everything?
Yes, you know, we have such a great marketing and communications team. They've been working with us for years and, you know, evolving with us into this virtual world. And so they really do have it, I think, well laid out on the website, which is summersolsticefestivals.ca. And all of our programming content with links you can find through the website and on our social media with Summer Solstice Festival as well. You can find the links to YouTube and Facebook Live where all of our programming will run.
Excellent. And who's involved? I know you've got lots of sponsors, obviously, and the different musical artists. You've got chefs involved. Who else is coming to the table?
Oh, the list is, you know, our program's so diverse, and so the list is so extensive. We have, you know, lots of great, you know, visual and craft artists. We're doing six creation workshops, and then we have six of the education day workshops. We're collaborating with the International Indigenous Music Summit. So for our live music programming this year, they've selected 16 Indigenous artists from across Canada. And we're, in addition to our Summer Solstice Indigenous Music Awards, where we're selecting some of our final nominees that are local to us here to be part of our drive-in events. So, you know, that is our, we are trying to have that small live hybrid component with the drive-ins this year. We're working with Wesley Clover Park drive-in and having an Indigenous movie night. And we're also having our Indigenous live concert night on June 21st. And so we're just actually soon announcing the artists that we'll be profiling there. And then we have a competition powwow with, last year I think we had over 500, and I'm sure more this year, drums and dancers from across North America competing. And so there's literally, you know, thousands of Indigenous chefs and artists and participants and vendors in our marketplace. So you really can see a lot of the diversity across across Canada.
It is amazing. You are completely inspiring to me. Trina Mather-Samard, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks so much for having me. Miigwech.
Stay with us here on An Hour to Give to learn more about the Summer Solstice Indigenous Festival. We have a special treat now on An Hour to Give. We have a mother and daughter joining us. I'd like to welcome to the show Trudy Medcalf Coe and Carissa Coe. Hello to you both.
Hi there.
Hello.
It's great to have you here. Trudy Medcalf Coe, I remember chatting with you last year, and we spoke about some culinary delights, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, that's my kind of happy place and field of expertise. I do the Indigenous culinary workshops for the Indigenous Summer Solstice.
And I understand, Carissa, you've got quite a talent as well.
I've been gaining some of my skills and some traditional knowledge over the last few years. Fortunately, I've been connected with my community, and also when I have partaken in Summer Solstice Indigenous Festival, I've helped my mom with her culinary work. This year, I'm leading a sealskin beading tutorial workshop. There's been a few different things with Summer Solstice Indigenous Festival, and it's just been amazing to be a part of.
That's awesome. I love hearing that. And of course, doing this together makes it even more special, I'm assuming, Trudy.
It does. I'm really, really proud of my daughters and how they've embraced their Inuit culture and stepping out and stepping up and being strong community leaders, like youth leaders, and being part, like really, really connected with other Inuit in the community, and just being proud of who they are and what they've accomplished and what they're doing. And, you know, when it comes to the crafts and the cooking and stuff like that we all do, these are kind of all things on the sidelines, right? They're just passions and hobbies, more a sense. But also they're learning moments and teaching moments. And seeing where Carissa, how much she's grown over the years and just, you know, jumping in feet first in everything and taking on and learning and connecting with culture, not just our Inuit culture, but, she's connected with a lot of Indigenous, like First Nations, called like other people in the community who are Indigenous but are not necessarily Inuit, and just embracing, like, we're all just one group of people. We're not, you know, we're not kind of like, oh, I'm in this group and you're in that group, but we're always crossing paths, especially during the Indigenous Summer Solstice, which is kind of like when we all come together again. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's quite exciting.
It is exciting. The festival is certainly very special. We've heard about lots of great activities. I'm really fascinated by your workshop, Carissa. How can people get involved?
Right now, there is a link posted on the Summer Solstice Indigenous website. They also have a Facebook page that has a link to their website. And they have a few different tutorials for cooking as well as crafts. In the crafts, you can find a sealskin beaded keychain, and there's some amazing other tutorials done by other artists. So I really encourage everyone to check them all out and, you know, take a look at what's available and see what might spark your interest. It's a great activity, and it's also great to learn about, like my mother said, and learn about other cultures around you. I think that's really important, and with Summer Solstice, it's really important to connect and just to, you know, celebrate another year, another healthy year around the sun, and come together and just learn from each other.
Trudy, I remember chatting with you last year and you left me hungry, and I'm sure you're going to do the same thing this time. Walk me through, as an Inuit chef, sort of your favorite things to cook, your favorite creations.
I do a lot of different things. They're not all necessarily just country food. And country food is what Inuit call our foods, like our land and sea animals. I cook primarily with Arctic char and caribou, but caribou is harder to get these days. Just because there's a moratorium, the Inuit elders have called just to make sure that our stocks are replenished and stuff like that. So I'm starting to cook more with muskox when it's necessary, or converting to other things, like maybe venison, right? Because there's venison and stuff that's available in the south. All of my foods, whenever I'm having to cook for large groups of people, I need to connect with suppliers in the Arctic. and just being able to get the food to the south and stuff like that is quite an ordeal. I mean, the hunters have to go hunt it. It needs to be processed, then it needs to be brought to an airport, shipped down to Ottawa, and hopefully I get it in time because, you know, we can't go to the grocery store and buy caribou and Arctic char. Like, that's not farmed. And I would prefer to support our community hunters in the Arctic. So, you know, and the other thing with some of the foods, I'm doing a lot of not all just traditional, but like bringing in other flavors from other cultures around the world. So for the culinary workshop this year, I'm doing a curried caribou. So I'm doing a take on Bikram Vij's family curried recipe, and I work with Bikram. I believe it was in 2017, there was a large event on Parliament Hill for Canada's 150, and I was paired with Bikram Vij, and we did a curried caribou, and everybody's been asking for it since, like anybody who's tried it, and I've made it a few times, and the nice thing about it is if people don't have caribou, it's the type of recipe that can be adapted to a lot of other proteins. So it doesn't have to be a caribou. If you can't get caribou, they don't have to worry about, oh, well, I'm missing out on this great recipe, because it's the Indian spices that go with it that make it so unique, but also brings in the country food portion of it. And if I can't get caribou, I'll do it with muskox. It's great with other proteins also. The other thing is like Arctic char. Arctic char is fairly readily available, but I still have to go through the process of getting it out of the Arctic. So it could be a challenge at times, and you know, when I'm doing events, then I just need to have a lot of lead time, like 2 or 3 months, if possible.
Well, you've definitely done it again. You've left me hungry again. I am determined to have one of your meals someday, absolutely. Carissa, I understand that we can get some of these craft kits online. How does that work?
So there's a process. I mean, with everything online now, of course, you have to have a credit card. But once you go onto the website, in their menu section, there will be the craft tutorials. And then from there, there's a menu. Like I said, there's many beautiful tutorials with other very talented artists. I know there's one other Inuit artist doing drawings, I believe. I think there's somebody doing a First Nations tutorial and a Métis tutorial as well. So they're all amazing workshops. And like I said, if supplies are out, there's 150 kits for the sealskin beaded tutorial that I did. So if supplies runs out, I mean, it's really hard to get sealskin in the city, but this workshop can be done with leather. It can be done with other materials. You just need some beads, a needle, and some thread, and something aside from sealskin, like I said, leather or some sort of fabric, and you can follow along the tutorial as well.
That's amazing. And I know locally here in the Ottawa area, Trudy, that some of those meal kits can be delivered.
Yes, because it's all like temperature sensitive, right? It'd be great if we could kind of put them on planes and stuff to ship across country. But because of the safety factor behind having foods at correct temperatures and stuff like that, it is going to be locally delivered only by GoForIt, who's, I guess, the delivery partner for the Indigenous Summer Solstice. And they're doing all the deliveries, I believe, for all the kits, like the artist kits, the meal kits, and all that. And it's quite a production. Like, I'm really, really amazed at how well the Indigenous Summer Solstice team has really, you know, embraced everything that we're going through and how we're all still able to come together and get these things out there. It's quite a production. I mean, like, just if you can imagine with my dish, like I said, we have to order our caribou from Rankin Inlet, which is like way, way up north. It's probably about a 4 to 5 hour plane ride with a stop in between, and having to make sure the food stays frozen until it gets here, and then picking it from the airport, and then from there I take it, and or somebody has to pick it up, and we have to put all these other ingredients. It's kind of like delivering the good food boxes in a sense. So there's a lot of thought that goes into it, a lot of hours, a lot of people in playing with it, and even just like with Carissa's workshop. You know, she's been at home for the last couple of weeks and just cutting up all these little pieces of sealskin and trying to get all the other materials together and putting them in all the little kits and then having to get them to the Indigenous Summer Solstice warehouse. And then from there, they have to get it out to the people who order it. So it's quite the production when it comes to, like on our end, it's me and a couple of other people. And with Carissa, it's herself putting all the, well, actually, I'm out today and going to be picking up some of her supplies for her, you know, just because everything has big curbside pickup, so her needles and threads and stuff like that. So it's there's a lot that goes into it, and it doesn't fall on a blind eye, hopefully.
Absolutely. And we know the marketplace obviously is a big part of this. Indigenous Tourism Ontario and Export Development Canada, of course, Canadian Museum of History as well, has been really important for all of the different things you're doing with the festival.
Oh, absolutely. And definitely it would not be able to get done without all the partnerships and all the corporations and everybody coming together and really, really pushing, like, the agenda forward, making sure all the kits are delivered, making sure, you know, the funds are in place to get the supplies that are needed, because you can't just go to Walmart to get this stuff, like my mother said, seal skin and things like that. So the partnerships between everybody and all the effort being put in, it really warms my heart as an Indigenous person. Moving forward, I think everybody, you know, Indigenous or non-Indigenous, we can all come together and learn something from each other. And Summer Solstice is just one of those moments that, you know, really proves that. And like I said, it wouldn't be able to be done without the partnerships.
For sure. Absolutely agreed. And of course, TD Bank coming in and sponsoring those culinary workshops, and there's chefs from all over. How important is that for you, Trudy?
It's extremely important. I mean, it's to have sponsors step up and promote, you know, Indigenous, any Indigenous programs and events. It's all a part of, like, truth and reconciliation, right? I think that's a big part. That's really important. And, you know, TD has been a part, like, I've been a part of the Indigenous Summer Solstice. I think this is probably my fourth year. And TD has always been there. I'm in particular with the culinary portion of it, and they've always been there for that. And they, you know, they're a big sponsor with this. They're a big sponsor of a lot of other Indigenous programs, which I've seen over the years, other events that I've been to. And you know, they celebrate Indigenous Day and stuff like that on June 21st, where I've been a caterer at their events. So it's just so important to have the sponsorship from all these allies and partners that the festival wouldn't happen without them. And, you know, hopefully this time next year we're all face to face with each other again over at Vincent Massey Park and being able to see everybody, because, you know, I know my daughter is out there, I know she's doing her part and stuff like that, but, you know, we can't get together, so it's just so amazing. And the other thing with this too is that we're able to not just get the culture to people in the Ottawa area, with it being virtual, with being online, it can go right across Canada, which
Absolutely.
Is really, really amazing. And there's so many people who don't have access to Indigenous festivals and summer solstice and stuff like that. And this is a way that they can be connected, which would not happen without sponsors and funders.
Well, it wouldn't happen without you two either, I don't think. Carissa Co. and, of course, Trudy Metcalf Co., a dynamic mother-daughter duo. Thank you so much for joining us here on An Hour to Give.
Thank you, Sam. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
It's been my pleasure. Stay with us here for more information about the Summer Solstice Indigenous Festival. We're going to be talking about the Social Distance Powwow. Of course, it's part of the Summer Solstice Indigenous Festival. So that means we want to talk with Whitney Rencounter. How are you, Whitney?
Hello, I'm doing very good. Thank you for having me on today.
It is a real pleasure. I understand you are the co-founder of this powwow. How did it all come to be?
Yes, so I'm the co-founder and official MC for the Social Distance Powwow. And back when the pandemic hit, you know, in 2020, March, to be exact, you know, we the co-founders and myself, Dan Simons, who is a vendor, owner of Wampum Ware, and then Stephanie Aber, who's a beadwork extraordinaire and a dancer as well. And then myself as a MC and singer at powwows and been around Paula's all my life. The pandemic cut our lives, you know, into another direction, so to speak. And so we wanted to do something to help the pandemic and help those that were going to suffer from a lack of opportunities to travel and see friends and family during the pandemic, and like we usually do, especially in the springtime. So we came up with this platform called Social Distance Powwow, and you know, we were not prepared for the feedback and participation, and it's become a place where people can upload their videos and sell their wares and share their songs and dances and their culture. You know, and it's really it's about 250,000 people now in over 100 countries around the world, and you know, it's really helped a lot of people during this pandemic, and we're just happy to be part of it.
And this is serious stuff. I mean, people are competing for $30,000 in prize money. Walk us through how that's going to happen.
Yeah, so last summer, when we first kicked things off with the Social Distance Powwow, you know, we realized that it was going to become a platform, not just for one powwow, one event. It was going to be multiple events. It was going to be a platform to broadcast and share and gather for virtual gatherings. And, you know, for those that can't sing and dance or walk, or those that are going through a difficult time, they look for inspiration from other people. And so this virtual gathering, so to speak, is a great place, because there's elderly, there's those that are sickly that cannot travel. So to have a place virtually online for them to access, as well as during this pandemic, it's tough. But last year, when the Summer Solstice Indigenous Festival went all online and virtual, they reached out to us, and so we formed a partnership, and we brought together this exciting celebration. And so people register on our page. We have a registration form for dancers, and then a dancer, after they register, they prepare, they find out when they got to compete, and they go out to where their favorite spot in their community or out in nature, and they'll record their video, and they'll send it into the Summer Solstice Indigenous Festival, and then and also post it to Social Distance Powwow, and the people online get to view all these videos and like and share, and they just go viral online to be able to see all these dances. And from there, we determine the winners, and we have a live show for the finalists. And you know, last summer it was so well received, and we had a poll after each competition for folks to vote and submit their favorite dancer, and it was just so exciting. The people really enjoyed it, and it was well received and viewed by thousands and thousands of people across the United States, Canada, and the world. So we're really excited, and hopefully we have a great turnout again this year.
So maybe we're watching this from Halifax or Ottawa or Vancouver, how can we sort of make sure we're tuning in at the right time?
So yeah, if you go to the Summer Solstice Indigenous Festival website, or you come to the Social Distance Powwow Facebook page, you know, and between those two pages, we'll have the poster and the information, the schedule and the timeline, and we'll have all of that shared, and you'll be able to follow along throughout the whole week of June 14th through June 20th.
I can't help thinking that this is great family entertainment as well, a great family learning opportunity as well.
Yeah, you know, the sky's the limit in terms of, you know, participation and support and viewership and accessibility. And it almost seems like our younger generation, the youth, are at a little bit of an advantage, because they understand how to access things virtually. And so they can teach the adults, you know, how to log on to Facebook or virtually or YouTube, or, you know, how to participate in these kinds of events. So it is a multi-generational event, and I think it's really fun to see the youth help the adults navigate through the virtual world.
True, absolutely. We know that you're expecting over 500 participants, which is amazing. I understand there's a favorite on the powwow circuit as well.
Yeah, I mean, I just think that ultimately, you know, everyone has a favorite dance. Everyone has a favorite drum group. Everyone has a favorite powwow. Everyone has a favorite food. Everyone has a favorite vendor. You know, so I think it's essentially when you have the likes of some of the championship dancers, drum groups, some of the best vendors and artists and everything, I think ultimately, you know, that's kind of what brings the excitement to these particular celebrations and the excitement of seeing if your favorite dancers, singers, vendors, artists are going to be there.
For sure. Talk to me about Northern Cree. I understand they're a multi-Grammy nominated group.
Yeah, so Northern Cree is, you know, I would say one of the greatest drum groups throughout Indian country of all time. They've stood the test of times. They've been around for decades. They come from Mesquites, Canada, and, you know, they are highly sought after by powwow committees across the United States and Canada, and even, you know, festivals and gatherings throughout the world. They have such a historic perspective and genre of songs, and they have a unique sound that they just bring energy and the excitement to any celebration that they attend. Obviously, they're a world-class drum group, and they've performed at the Grammys live on the Grammy stage at the Staples Center in Los Angeles, California. They've participated in many Grammy Awards ceremonies, so they have taken pictures with many celebrities while they were there. And so it almost feels like, to a sense, that they are also indigenous celebrities in our world, as in powwow country. You know, they just, everywhere they go and they travel, they bring a, kind of like the Beatles, they bring that excitement and that buzz with them. So, you know, they also have the knowledge, the traditional songs of round dance, of powwow, and, you know, and they really kind of ground themselves in that knowledge, and they garner a lot of respect everywhere they go.
That's really great. I hope to see them perform someday, absolutely. Whitney, walk me through, if someone's never seen a powwow before, what are we looking for?
Well, I think it's almost like a double, you know, it's one thing to have never seen a powwow before, but I think it's also on top of that, it's one thing to have never seen a powwow online before. You know, even folks that have traveled to powwows, when we first started having these powwows on social distance powwow, the virtual celebrations, people were like, well, how are we going to watch? How's it going to work with grand entry? Or how's it going to work with this or that? Or, you know, the dancers or the singers? And, you know, how are we going to spectate? And how are we going to contribute and participate? And, you know, but ultimately, we've come through this year, a year and a half now of these events in terms of, you know, you have participation from 0 to 100-plus years old of tiny tots, of junior categories, of teens, adults, you know, golden age of senior categories. So it's dancers from all ages, all walks of life, and the same thing with the singers. And essentially, generally, a powwow is just a celebration of song and dance. You come together at a particular community or place, and you have a celebration. Some are traditional, where people just come and sing and dance when they're called upon, and you have an announcer, you have an MC that kind of guides and lets folks know who's going to come out next and what's happening now, and kind of guides you through the day of these celebrations. And then you have competition celebrations, where it's more of like a show in terms of you have the best of the best out there competing with one another, and everything runs in terms of a schedule, and you kind of know what to expect and when to watch. And then, you know, then when you go to virtual, it's, you know, it's kind of a similar thing. We have everything planned out, and we let folks know when the videos will be coming in, what day you'll be watching, what style of dance, and you can view the dancers. They'll have what we call hashtags, so you can, you know, you'll know. So if you went to Facebook and you type in a certain hashtag, for example, like the pound sign or the dial sign, and then you put summer solstice powwow or something like that, it'll pull up all the videos that are in that particular powwow, and they'll put them down in a timeline. You know, so there's multiple ways, but, you know, basically when the celebration happens, you know, June 14th through the 20th. If you go to Social Distance Powwow every day of that week, you will see the videos at your own leisure. And on the weekend, 19th and the 20th, you'll see the live broadcast of the finalists. So
amazing.
It's pretty exciting.
Amazing. Whitney Rencounter, it has been my pleasure. Thanks so much for sharing all of those great details with us today regarding the Summer Solstice Indigenous Festival. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. My pleasure.
And thank you so much to CN and the Canadian Deposit Insurance Corporation for sponsoring the Social Distance Powwow. Thank you so much for listening to An Hour to Give. I hope you enjoy everything about the festival. Have a great weekend, everyone.